look at God's word together this morning. Now, really had this on my heart before actually Friday. I was kind of mulling this over with the Lord personally, but also in prep, knowing that he was saying something to me about bringing this word today. And so this was before the atrocities in France that has happened in the last couple of days. And I just began to just think about what we should all be doing when trouble comes. Just mulling over a response that actually would be a blessing to us and not kind of lead us into even more difficulties. Because you can respond to trouble by screaming, through anger, through strops. You can respond to trouble by running away. And there are difficult times. Jesus actually said, in this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So trouble happens to everyone. But not everybody responds in the same way to the difficulties that happen in life. The heartache and loss that happens, and you may have personally experienced either recently or in your own personal life, loss and grief. And you'll know that when that comes, actually, how important it is to have a relationship with Jesus. When you have health challenges or financial challenges, when trouble comes and you can't pay the bills, or work issues come up, or maybe you don't have a job, when trouble comes within your family is actually so connected to your heart. If they hurt, you hurt. Isn't that right? And it's like this response goes on that actually hits you. You could almost say below the belt, but you mean it really hits hard. And I think we need to be honest about our response to it before we can actually be helped. And I believe God's word shows us that our response can affect and bring a positive outcome out of any trouble. But the way we respond is really important. And we can learn the way to respond through understanding God's word. God speaks into every situation. Whatever trouble you're in, God has a word for it, has something to say through his word, a promise for you in that trouble. And if you're not going through trouble at the moment, thank God. But get ready, because it's going to come. Because there will always be situations that come up that we are to overcome and see God bring us through difficult times. And I have a scripture from Nahum, or Nahum. I don't know how you want to say it. It's up to you. But what's written is more important than the pronunciation. And it's Nahum 1 verse 7. And I just want to lift this up as who God is, no matter what trouble we're in. The Lord is good. A refuge in times of trouble. He cares. Isn't that wonderful? He cares for those who trust in him. The Lord is good. A refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust him in him. This starts with a declaration of who God is. God is good. And our circumstances are not to tell us about the nature and character of God. How many of you know your circumstances or your trouble can speak to you and actually distort your view of God? The only way you can have an accurate view of who God is by reading the Bible. And this is reading the word of God together today. This is the word. The Lord is good. A refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. So God is good. Now Jesus came as the Son of God. And he went about doing good. Not just being good. He is good. But how many of you know it's one thing to be good, to have those intentions in your heart, but it's another thing to do it. Yeah. If somebody says they love you and don't want to do you good, it's not love. Hello? Love actually seeks the highest good, so it wants to do people good. And Jesus went around doing good, healing all. Just the radical truth. Jesus went around doing good. He's the representative of God. He shows us who God really is. This is who God truly is. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He went around doing good, healing all. Acts 10:38. Healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So who's the problem? The devil. Oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And Jesus said, God is a good father. And he's only got good gifts to give. He's not going to give a snake that bites and is poisonous to a child he loves, because God himself is good. He's not going to get you to drink poison. He's not out to damage your life. God is good. And he gives good gifts. He gives good gifts to his children. Jesus came to give fullness of life. When Jesus came, he made a mission statement. I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. Then he said, the devil's mission statement is, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So Jesus defines the devil's purpose, and he also defines God's purpose for people. I've come that you, personally, put your name on it, might have life. Go on, say it. Jesus has come to give me life, and life in all its fullness. And the devil has come to take it. To steal, to kill, and destroy. God is a refuge. A refuge is a safe place when there's trouble. If there's trouble, if you get into a refuge, the trouble stops. It's a place of peace, protection, and comfort. I actually see my home a bit like a refuge, do you? When I close the door, I go, phew. Has anybody ever closed the door and go, whoa, it's nice to be home? But I tell you, there's no better home than Jesus. He's my real home. God is my refuge. I run to him. And I'm saved. I'm safe. I'm preserved. He is a refuge. In times of trouble. So when there is trouble, God is our refuge, a place of protection and provision. And he cares. Now, this, I want to say, isn't just a feeling. Because God is intensely practical about what he wants to do through care. It's not just an emotion of, I feel moved by your situation. He actually wants to do something about it. So whenever you're in trouble, God wants to do something about it. He cares about the trouble you're in. He has compassion on all he has made. And so God cares and wants to provide and do something for us. But I do think there is a secret in this one scripture. Because we could just stop there. But it says he cares for what kind of people? Oof. Hello? Anybody see that there is a condition to this happening in our lives? Can you see that? There is a response in trouble. If I trust him, I'll get his care, protection, provision, comfort, and miracle. Can you see that? Because God's economy runs on faith. And God's economy is kingdom, all things, all provided, everything available. Jesus died for us to have fullness of life. That's the economy of the kingdom. It's rich, plentiful, health, joy, peace, everything you'll ever need is in the kingdom. But the transaction, the way it comes into your reality and experience is through trusting in him, through faith. We deal with money. When we want to transfer goods, we pay for them, we give somebody money, and we get the goods. God deals in faith. And according to your faith, you'll get the goods. It will be done for you. That's good. Think of shopping, because we all can do that. We can go to the supermarket and buy things. But there's got to be a transaction. And God actually wants to and has, in one sense, given us everything we need in Christ. But it becomes a reality in our experience as we trust or we apply our faith. Now, those who trust in him, this word means to depend upon. It means to lean heavily upon. So in other words, you've stopped trusting yourself, because if you are worried about trouble, you're still trusting you. Because worry means you're trying to work it out about what can happen. Trust means you throw the entire weight of the situation, everything you are, onto Jesus and say, right, it's over to you then, Lord. Isn't that amazing? Trust is putting your whole weight onto Jesus because he cares for you. What a wonderful picture of who the Lord is. May this be a reality in yours and my life, that he really cares for us with his provision flowing consistently into our lives because we trust in him. I've already mentioned Satan, the devil. Jesus knew there was a devil. He spoke about the devil. He dealt with the devil. He cast out the devil. He beat the devil on the cross, triumphing over him. Won the victory over Satan, death, and hell. He got the keys of Satan and got authority back. Jesus is our victor. Satan is defeated. However, Satan is the troublemaker. So turn to somebody and say, if you're in trouble, Satan's the troublemaker. Jesus is the trouble mender. He actually sorts out the troubles. Hello? He's the answer. We've been singing it this morning. But Jesus is the answer to all the trouble we might get in. Thank you, Lord. But you see, if then everybody has trouble at one time or another in this life, we can see that not everybody trusts God in trouble. Is that an accurate word? It's true. And I have to say, as a pastor, I can tell you that not everybody in the church trusts God in trouble. Because it's obvious by the reaction to the trouble you might get in. Romans 15 verse 13 says, now, may the God of hope, what's hope? Future expectation of good. In trouble you need hope. Future expectation of good happening in the future. Yeah? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, or as you trust in Him, so that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So how do I know personally? Let me make it personal, because some of you might think I'm getting at you. How do I know if in any trouble that I face, I am trusting Him? Well, I'm filled with joy and peace. Joy and peace is the fruit of trust. Let me put it into the language we can all understand, particularly running up to December the 25th, Christmas. There, it would take a lot of convincing to tell children Christmas is not coming. Wouldn't it? You sat down with a child and say it's cancelled this year. Christmas is off. Internationally, gone. Children have an expectation in them. With all joy and peace is the product of their faith. Not misery and I wonder if it's going to happen. Do you think it might happen this year? Is Christmas really coming? They just know that they know Christmas Day is on the way. Now that's faith. They know that they know good's coming. You can't tell me it's not on its way. I'm trusting God, and so I'm full of joy and peace. I have an expectation. I'm so excited about what God's going to do. So you can test whether you personally are in faith through your own barometer of joy and peace. Am I helping you this morning? The Lord is a refuge. In times of trouble, He cares for those who trust in Him. And those who trust in Him will be filled, will go through the trouble. Expect Christmas Day is coming. It's okay. Yeah, but you don't see what I see. I see this. You might see the trouble I'm in. I see what God's promised. And His promises are sure and certain. And faith is sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't yet see. Come on, this is good. This is good teaching on how to live by faith. And when you're in trouble, the ingredient you need is faith. And how can you and I receive faith? Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing again and again the word. Hearing and hearing by the word. So that is a hearing, an ongoing hearing of God's promise, God's word on the trouble you're in. You know, there's a scripture. I can't remember the reference. In times of famine, you will have plenty. I know it because I've had to sow it in my own life. Hear the word again and again when I've been in famine. So that's why I can quote it but can't tell you where the reference is. And I don't care about the reference as long as I've got the word. So the promise says, in times of famine, you will have plenty. I've gone, brilliant! Doesn't matter how much trouble's going on out there, I'm going to have plenty. Why? Because I'm trusting God, which means to trust what He says. And what does He say? It is written already what God says about every trouble you might get in. It's already written. It's the word of the living God that doesn't change, that always works. No word will return empty, but every word will accomplish what it's been sent to do. And if I will trust God for plenty in famine, truly, I'll be happy, even if I don't currently have enough in my hands, I will know that I know that I know a day of plenty is on the way. Because the righteous live by faith. faith is being sure of what we hope for, how can we be sure? Because God says it. It is written. I know what God says. And if you don't read your Bible, you won't come to faith. You won't have the faith that will triumph in trouble. And God has designed you to be a man or woman of God who consistently hears God's word day in, day out, so that what is sown in your heart, because you see, the word of God is like a seed, and every promise is like a miracle seed. Say to your neighbor, every promise is miracle seed. And if we will allow God, work with God, with his word, and plant that seed in our hearts, know the word of God, memorize it, speak it, until actually we know that we know. Faith comes from hearing, that you have faith. You know when you've got faith. Don't you? Then you know in due season you will reap. In due season, there's something coming up. And one day I'll get the harvest of what God has spoken. See, what happens, and I think this is the most dangerous thing that can happen in trouble, is that people blame God. Not you, of course. Of course, you wouldn't ever do that. I'm looking at you looking, absolutely, no, not me, who me? Get a bit miffed that it hasn't happened yet. God, why? As soon as you start to say that, sounds a bit like a complaint. And the danger is, in trouble, people get offended. They get offended with God, they get offended with other people, other Christians, churches, and they actually walk away. They actually get so fed up, they give up on the very path that God has chosen for them to win in. Imagine it like this, that the person who actually walks away is a bit like a fruit tree, that when planted, it has really shallow roots. Now that's a problem for a fruit tree to have shallow roots, and it's a problem for a Christian to have shallow roots. Your roots are more important than you think. So imagine that person is like a fruit tree, planted but shallow, in shallow ground, and their roots only go down a little bit. In God, in his word, come to church, but they're not really rooted in the word, they're not rooted in Christ, they don't actually spend their lives searching out Jesus, spending time, oh, I want to find out about the word, I want to be a student of the word. They just go through life shallow, responding and reacting to everything and saying, God, why me? So they're like this tree. Storms come because the weather continuously changes. Heat comes and drought comes because that's what trouble does. And this tree, if it could talk, imagine a talking tree. I don't like what I'm in. I can't stand my circumstances. Why am I still here? Why is it so hard? Get me out of here. And it's like that plant, that tree, that gets withered and dry because it's not receiving a resource from God. It's not receiving life from God and his word. And so when the storms come, it gets flattened, pulled up, like a plant, if you've ever seen a tree, flattened by a storm because its root system didn't go deep. Alternatively, you could have someone who does this, runs to Jesus as a refuge, receives his care and trusts in him and in his word. And that person is like a tree who sends out its roots deep in adversity. When heat comes, it just goes for more unseen life. That means when trouble comes, that person goes to prayer, runs to Jesus. They go to the Word and find a promise. And they drink deeply from that promise until that promise starts to nourish them. That even though storms and rain clouds and freezes on outside, inside they have the resources of God. And one day, in the not too just distant future, they're going to bear fruit. Because they have gone deeper in their roots with Jesus and His Word. How deep you are in God is how stable you are as a Christian. A tree with deep roots has stability, great stability in storms. If you want to be around someone who can endure a storm, and I know those who can because of their faith in God, you will see they're not moved no matter how bad it looks. And isn't that what God wants? Even though heat is coming externally in your circumstances, you yourself are saying, do you know what? Outward conditions do not define my harvest. Outward circumstances do not shape what I am going to receive from God. God has promised me this. God has promised my family this. I am sticking to what I believe. It's amazing, isn't it, that hard times do one or the other. People jump out or go deeper. And I want to say something to you. I don't like hard times, so don't think I'm a masochist, thank you so much, sir. I don't like to actually go through hard times. Like, I won't go, oh, whoopee, here we go for another challenge. And I think you've got to be a little bit off your head to be like that. However, I know in my worst times, I have gone deeper into Jesus. And I see Christians who don't last very long as Christians because in hard times they began to believe that God did something bad or somebody else was the problem or somebody else was going to solve it. But let me tell you, there's only Jesus that can really sort out your problems. It doesn't matter what it is, Jesus is the solution. But unless you dig deep, you won't be like that tree. And I've seen in my life the worst times, and I, you know, maybe we could all have stories about how bad it got. Is anybody here could actually be real and we say, do you know, I remember when? But I remember those times of absolute trouble, harsh circumstances, droughts, being hated, being persecuted, being spoken against. I remember in those times, oh, Jesus, I need your word. I've just got to have a word from you. Unless I get what you say in me, I ain't going to make this season, and I want to make it, and I want to make it good. See, we're not here for the short term. We're here for the long haul. And I've seen too many people walk away from Jesus, and I pray that that won't be you. But it's down to you and your roots. You can't have somebody else's roots. Somebody else's relationship with God is not yours. Come on, you've got to have your own time, your own devotion to the Word, prayer, and Jesus. Now, Jesus says something about this in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Harsh circumstances make you stronger and produce better fruit because you've had to depend on God. You love this word. Don't tell somebody next to you, I'm really enjoying this morning, even though I'm not showing it. This is good for me. It's good for me. Luke 8:15. Now Jesus is speaking about the seed of God's word. Every promise, what Jesus says, written in the Bible, is like a seed. And remember, it's miracle seed. And the soil stands for your heart. Your heart. Nobody else's. Yours. Not talking about the person next to you. He's talking about you. And Jesus says the seed sown on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. Some people say, well, the reason why I walked away is because it got too hard. No, I say, because Jesus says, the reason you walked away is because of your heart. Jesus is the divine doctor. He discerns what the problem is. And it's always an issue of your heart. It's never about your circumstances. It's all about your heart. Because that's why he says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Out of it will come that tree that will produce your miracle. Or it'll die midterm. It'll end halfway. Or might not even get planted because you're a lazy Christian. You aren't prepared to do any work. W-O-R-K. Prayer and the Word. Meditating on the Word. Day and night. W-O-R-K, that is. Isn't it? Let's be equipped for the times we're going to live in. I'm telling you something this morning in response to trouble. And Jesus says in the last days it's going to be really bad. I didn't say that. Read Matthew. Jesus says in the last days, afflictions, nations will rise up against nations. Are we ready? Where are our roots? Where's our heart in concerning the things that Jesus has actually said? And if we put our faith in the right place, we will start to see the miraculous in times of trouble. God wants to provide for you in times of trouble. But you better get seed planted personally. So a good heart stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it. Don't give up on it. And through persevering, produce a crop. Persevering. A farmer knows that once he's sown wheat seed, you know, the kernel, in the ground, he has a crop of wheat. So whenever he looks at that field that is all you can see is soil, he still sees wheat. That's faith. Faith sees what you can't see and says, I've got plenty. I am healed. That is this, even though it doesn't look like that. Somebody could walk by your field and say, well, that's just soil. Oh, no. I know what's in the ground. And one day it's going to produce. And it might take some time, but it's coming up. Can you see? We have to trust when there's no sign of change. Miracle seed, when planted and kept and persevered with. I think this is the issue, is the persevering. Continuing to trust God when it maybe has gone on quite a while. When maybe you've wanted to give up on something that God has spoken. Never, ever, ever, ever give up. Keep persevering, because that seed has divine life and it will come to pass. What God has spoken will happen as you continue to trust in him. Now I'm going to finish with a real story of a man in trouble, Mark's gospel, and we'll finish with this, because we've heard kind of a Jesus teaching, and the way to live in trouble is to trust. and to trust Jesus and plant seed, plant his word in our hearts and meditate on the word and keep faith with what God has said. We're going to see here an example in Mark's Gospel chapter 8 of a man who really was facing trouble. I think probably of the worst kind, which is in the family. Don't know if you would agree with me, but I think what really affects our hearts most is what happens to the people we love. I don't know if anybody's with me on that. Yeah, really just gets you. And we just read about a man called Jairus. Mark chapter 5 and verse, we'll start at 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Now, what happened next is a large crowd was following him with Jairus, and a woman had the audacity to trust Jesus and get healed. And, you know, they're walking along as a crowd. He's going with Jairus. And Jairus has actually prayed a faith prayer. He said to Jesus, it's really short, a faith prayer is. You don't go on and on and on and on and on. Faith prayer, listen to this. "My daughter's dying, that's the situation. Present your request. Come and lay your hands on her and she will be healed and live." So in other words, that'll be the outcome. Isn't that faith? Yeah. Do you not think that's a prayer of faith? Yeah. Come, she'll be healed and live. Boom, boom. Over. You aren't heard for your many words. It's your faith words that Jesus hears and responds to. So Jesus starts to move, because he always does where there's faith. Travels with anybody who's believing. So Jairus and Jesus plus this crowd, and this woman presses in, touches Jesus, the hem of his garment, and does this in faith, because she said within herself, that was a short prayer, if I touch him I'll get healed. I tell you, the shortness of faith is phenomenal. The length of unbelief is also phenomenal. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting with unbelief? On and on and on. Just believe. Well, what are you asking for? Some people don't even know what they're asking for. They come to Jesus. Blah, 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 blah. My daughter's sick, dying. Come, do this. She'll get healed. Right. Love, faith. So, on the way, there's a delay, which always comes, actually. Once we've believed, there are instant miracles, but mostly, it's not always, that's inaccurate. Mostly, there is a delay to the promise happening, which is why we have to continue to persevere and trust him. So there's a delay. And you know, when you're urgently needing something, you don't actually require a delay, Jesus. Have you ever really needed a miracle and it's now, Lord? And do you know we're in an emergency currently? She's not sick. She's dying. This girl is dying. We have to have you there now. And the delay is actually, I believe, the first test that Jairus faces in the promise. And really, whatever God does in your life, you have to keep walking with him, trusting in the delay. And not give up like that shallow tree. Then, we're cut back in. Jesus is speaking to the woman who got healed. In verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, "Your daughter's dead." Now, that is not the expected outcome. Are you with me on this? You're listening to the word this morning. Your daughter is dead. Jairus never expected that. But bad news came. Jairus was in faith. when the bad news came. How many of you know you can be in faith even though you get more bad news? For me, that's so encouraging. That even though I see things not getting worse, the bad news doesn't change the good news. Because the good news is eternal. It's the Word of God that never changes. But this bad news come, and it is really, your daughter is dead. It's the game over. And the heartache and the fear must have just hit him like a train. And the guy said, why bother the teacher anymore? And ignoring. That's a wonderful word, ignoring. Have you ever read that in your Bible? Jesus ignored. I love that. He ignored what they said. How many of you need to start to ignore what some people are saying about the things that you are believing God for? Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, only or just believe. So Jesus is saying, for us to see this transaction really happen, even though there's been delays and there's been bad news, for us to see it, your miracle seed produce the answer, you've actually got to not fear that bad news and get continuing to believe. It's the audacity of Jesus, really. But the words of Jesus are really important for you and I on what to do in trouble and when there is even more trouble after the trouble. When the problem gets worse. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Trust me, I'm good. I'm your refuge. Safe place. I care for those who trust in me. And if you want to see this transaction happen, that your daughter gets healed. In fact, raised from the dead. Keep believing. Keep persevering. Keep trusting. Don't look at the problems. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at how bad it is. Look at how good God is and look at the promise that He has given you in Christ Jesus. And I believe that's an encouragement for each and every one of us today. Whatever your problem, you need a seed. You need a promise. If you've got a problem, you must sow a promise. Run to Jesus because He's your refuge. He cares about you. But if you aren't willing to work with the Word and sow the Word and keep it going, speaking it, that's why meditation is so important on the Word of God, not on the problem. If you meditate on the problem and your circumstances, they will actually steal your faith. The Word will come out of your heart. But if you meditate on what God has promised you, day and night, you will have good success. I know there are people here who are in trouble, going through a time where the troublemaker, Satan, or maybe you've been through a time where you see that Satan has done something and things have happened. Maybe things are happening in your family and your body, your health. But Jesus actually says, I'm your refuge. Come to me. Pray. Receive a word. And receive it by faith. Believe that it will happen. And it will come to pass. And don't just believe at the beginning. Believe in the delays. And believe, hold fast in even more bad news. Because God will surely bring it to pass. No word of God is without power. It is self-fulfilling. And whatever He says will come to pass. Our future is in the seed planted flourishing, roots deep, and you will see the harvest. So do not give up. And if you're really in a difficult time at the moment, I want to say that this word, keep your heart good, noble, trusting in God and His word. And retain it, keep it in your heart, and do not fear. Keep going. Through perseverance, you will bear a lot of fruit. Let's stand together.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.